So let's go over what we've been learning about trust. Can anyone tell me what does the T stand for? True. And what did we learn from Pilate? What did we learn from Pilate? Do you remember?
He was a wussy.
He was a wussy. He didn't stand. He gave in. Yes. Stay in the presence of the Lord. Don't ask. Yes, yes. We don't want to ask the Lord a question and then leave, right? Pilate asked the question and then he left and he missed out on the answer. Amen. Excellent job, ladies. And what is truth? Thank you. Say it louder. The word. This is the truth. And the reason why the truth was standing in front of Pilate was Jesus was the word, right? And the truth. Yes. Okay. Next is R, rest. Amen. What did we learn from Elisha about resting? It's good. It's good to rest. Yes. What can happen when you're resting in the Lord? You can see things, right? Remember all the things that he could see because he was resting in the Lord. The Lord was able to reveal to him. And were they all normal things? No. They were not all normal things, but they were listening. He was listening and he saw what needed to happen in that situation. We need to be resting so we can listen and hear clearly. Amen? And does resting mean just taking a nap?
No,
it means waiting patiently before the Lord. Amen? All right. And then you, last night, we learned that you are in the middle and you make a difference in your ability to trust, right? And we learned last night, we are not going to swerve one day longer. Amen? That we're going to be women who go all in, and we're going to say, all is well, until all is well. Yes. So we're not going to be moved by situations. We are going to stand on the word of God and on the truth of the Lord, and we are going to keep on keeping on. Amen? Because we got promises in the word, right? And because of the truth and because of resting, we know we can hold on and we can keep going. Amen? Amen. And then our verse, Proverbs 3:5. If you remember it, say it with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Amen. So last night we learned about leaning. That leaning is okay if you're kneeboarding. It's okay if you're skiing. Right? It's okay if you're on a horse, but it's not okay when you're standing on the promises of God. Because we learned last night, when you lean, what happens? You change directions. We don't want to change directions. We want to stay on the path. Amen? And so, lean not on your own understanding. And these next two, I know unswerving has to do with leaning, but these next two really have to do with leaning. And they really have to do with your own understanding. And the first one is surrender. Somebody say surrender.
Surrender.
Yes, and you can almost hear people in their hearts right now going, oh no, I gotta surrender. You know what I mean? When people say the word surrender, most of the time, at least for me, when I've preached on it, it's like the whole congregation goes, oh. It's like you can just feel the walls go up, right? I don't want to surrender. You know, it's just that feeling that goes with it. You know what? After today, when someone says it's time to surrender, you're going to go, woo, sign me up. Okay? Because I'm going to show you something that you probably have never seen before about surrender. Amen? Say, I can learn something new today. Amen. Amen. So surrender. In biblical definition, wow, that was tough. Surrender means to wholly and willingly submit one's will, desires, and life to God's authority, God's plan, and God's purposes. This isn't a passive defeat. Listen to this. It's a courageous act of faith. I'm going to say that again. Surrender is not a passive defeat, but a courageous act of faith. Surrendering is a courageous act of faith. And it's not just something we do one time. It's something we do over and over and over and over again. Now, the idea of surrendering can be hard when you don't know the truth. Say it again. Surrendering can be hard when you don't know the truth. Yeah, it can be hard when you don't know the truth. When you surrender to peer pressure, that can be costly. When you surrender to the flesh, it can be life-altering. When you surrender to the enemy, it really can be devastating. Okay? But when you surrender to God, you will never lose. You will never lose when you surrender to God. You will never lose that which is meant to be a blessing in your life. Okay? Sometimes when you surrender to the Lord, things will leave your life. Maybe it's a friendship. Maybe it's a financial thing. Maybe it's surrendering your will and saying, okay, Lord, I can trust you with this situation, right? And you can have the opportunity to look at that and go, that's a negative. I'm losing that person's friendship. But can I tell you something from experience? You didn't need that friendship. I'm just being real honest with you today. Sometimes we hold on to things that we don't need. Things that can actually harm us and hurt us and hold us back, right? Because we're leaning on our own understanding in those situations. And it's time, girls, that we surrender when the Lord says, lay that down. Okay? And surrender is not a negative thing. I want you to tell me, show me in your actions, what does an army or what does an enemy to another enemy do when they surrender? Somebody show me in this room. What are they? Get them up. Get them up. Get them up. All of them up. They do this, right? This is the international, worldwide known fact that I surrender. But I also want you to look at this. Look at me again. What do you do in church? This is not a defeat. This is an act of worship. This is an act of worship. I mean, it's just amazing when you can see a truth in the Word and it changes how you see something. That's why when someone says you need to surrender, then you can say, hallelujah. I'm here to worship, Lord. I'm here to let go. Because the harder you hold on to something, unless it's the truth that we learned last night, but the harder you hold on to something, the more that thing controls your life. And it will change you because you're holding on too tightly. Amen? So if you have your Bibles, let's open up to Daniel 3. Daniel 3. And Lacey so lovingly, woo, isn't that so nice? Thank you, Lacey. And we are doing, yes, she is. We are doing surrender, but if we had a title today, it would be this. Are you ready? Are you ready? Now, I love the first part of Daniel. It's some of my favorite stories, special for kids' class. But you know what? As women, we are daughters of the Lord. We are children of God. So we're going back to kids' class this morning. Are you excited?
Yes.
Okay. So in this chapter, chapter 3, King Nebuchadnezzar got a vision, and he decided to make an image of himself. He doesn't have any self-esteem problems, does he? He's got other problems. But he decides to make this golden image. And his design was he was going to play all these different instruments, and when they were played, everyone in the nation was going to bow. We're not talking a group of 20. Not chopping a group of 30. I'm talking the entire United States is bowing. That's a lot of people, right? It's a lot of people. It was a huge nation that he was in charge of in Babylon, one of the biggest at this time, okay? And so he had this great idea. Everyone would bow and worship the image of him, okay? But there were some people that weren't okay with that, and that's who we're going to read about today. So let's look at verse 8. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. Who were the Jews? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They spoke and said to the king, O king, live forever. Have you ever noticed when someone's trying to do something that they shouldn't be doing, they always come in with, you are so wonderful. I just love serving under you. And you know in their hearts, they really don't. They're just, you know, kissing up. Verse 10, you, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery in symphony with all their kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews, now listen to this, whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. So first they reward him with the praise, and then they insult him by saying, these guys, you put them there. Can you see the hearts of these people? They're not good. And that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image with you, which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, that's why you should never act in rage, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready, at the time you hear of the sound of the, and he goes through them all again, all the instruments, you fall down and you worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be immediately cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this is the case, our God, whom we are able to serve, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. I'm going to stop there just for a second. A life surrendered. Now, these young men didn't just pop into the story. Okay, we all know that, right? Let's do a little history on this. So Israel had gone astray, and God had sent Babylon in, and they took people captive, and they took the elite. So we know that these boys were from the elite. They were the top. And they brought them in to serve under King Nebuchadnezzar in his royal capacity of counselors or wise men. Okay, so you probably all remember when they first came that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they chose to surrender their lives to the Lord, even in the midst of captivity. And they came in and they wanted to feed them all the king's foods and wines. And they said, no, we're not going to bow there either. Okay, and so they convinced the man that was in charge of them to just test them and see. Ended up, they looked better, and they were much wiser than everyone else, and they were giving places of authority, right? And then a little bit later, we find out that the king has a dream, and he doesn't know the answer to the dream, which is funny because he's asking what this God that they serve, when that God that they serve answered his dreams. I mean, you know, it's mind-boggling to me how someone could, even if they aren't a Christian, if they can see the power of God and then they forget so quickly, right? And so he's going to kill all the wise men unless someone tells him his dream and tells him what it means. And Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they go into prayer because they're not going to bow. They're not going to bow. They're not going to surrender to the king's whims, right? And what does Daniel do? He goes in and he says, no man can do this, but my God can. My God can. Do you see? It's a lifestyle of surrender. They didn't just get to the point of standing before the king. Because I can tell you what, if you aren't living for the Lord a surrendered life and you get in these hot moments, you're going to bow. Why? Because you don't know the truth. You don't understand who you are in him, right? A surrendered life realizes my life is a worship unto the Lord. I surrender my life to his plans and his purposes. Amen? And so they lived a surrendered life. So our daily walk counts. We have to be serving him in the little things. If he tells you to do something, you need to do it. Even if it seems so minute, guess what? There are no minutes in the kingdom of God. There are only yes, Lord, or no, Lords. Yes, Lords, or no, Lords. Amen? We need to, our daily walk counts. Next, we need to turn to the Lord in times of crisis. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel did. They turned to the Lord in times of crisis. They didn't panic. They didn't try to figure it out. Daniel says, guys, we got this problem. It's a big problem. The king wants to execute all the wise men because we can't answer this question. And they don't pace and walk around and freak out. They all go into prayer. And they stay there in the presence of the Lord until they get their answer. Amen? And when crossroads of life come, what did the king say? Now, if you are ready, and I could almost hear all three boys say, we are ready. We've been ready. We are still ready. Because they've been living this life, a surrendered life unto the Lord. Amen? Okay, let's keep going. I'm guessing if they had a choice, that all four of these young men, but especially for this story, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I'm sure they would not have chosen this path. They were living an amazing life in Israel with their families, but they've been taken captive away from their families, put into circumstances they didn't ask for, things required of them they didn't ask to have required of them, but they're put in this place having to take a stand day after day after day because they're living in the midst of people who do not know their God and they don't respect their God, and obviously they don't like them. That's right, he did. So we have this picture here of they could have just sat down and cried. Why are we here? I don't want to be here. Anybody ever felt like that before? I don't want to be here. This is not where I want. This is not what I had planned for my life. But we don't see that in these young men. They lived surrendered lives unto him. And they had a truth. Now, you ready for something? This is so awesome. I love the Lord. Let's just turn there. Jeremiah 29:11. I'm sure you could probably quote this by heart, but I'm going to show you something that you may never seen before. And it says this, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Amen. And was Jeremiah writing this to himself? Guess what, girls? Jeremiah was writing this letter to the captives in Babylon. And you know who the captives in Babylon were? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God had a truth for them. He sent them a word. Boys, listen up. I've got this. I've got a plan for you. This is a good plan. It's going to prosper you, not harm. What? Not harm you. Not harm you. Not harm you. Are you listening to me? The Lord told them in advance, my plan is not going to harm you. That's how they could look at the king and say, we're not bowing, but I'm going to throw you in a fiery furnace. You listening to me? Do you know the power I have over you? And they're like, none. None. We got a truth. We got a truth. When you live a surrendered life, the Lord will send the word, the truth to you that you can hold on in those moments of trial. They had a word. Hallelujah. How awesome is that? So the next time you quote that in your life, you remember, hey, I'm amongst Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. Woo! I'm in good company. Amen? Okay. So we're going to look here at a couple truths. Yeah. Except Daniel. Except for Daniel. Yeah. Okay. So let's look at the next part. A surrendered life is ready at the time. The king said, now if you are ready. I love this. The king kind of acts like a child a little bit. You can just see him up there. Why aren't you bowing? You need to bow. I made this image. You need to bow, right? But they were ready. They were ready at that moment. They had surrendered their life. They were walking it out before the Lord. So even in the midst of his tantrum, you ever dealt with someone that just really wants you to see something their way? And doggone it, you're going to see it. How come you can't see this? How come you can't do this? And if you're not ready with the truth, then you're going to bow their direction. Because you'll feel like I have to, because they're just pressuring me, right? That's what really the king was doing. He was pressuring. You don't have to surrender to pressure. You only surrender to the word. Amen? Circumstances and people don't alter your choices. They had the threat of death. I think if any death, I mean, they're all terrible. But fire to me just doesn't sound good. It just sounds terrible. Okay? And that circumstance was looming ahead of them, but they had a promise. What was the promise? In your future, no harm. Somebody say, no harm. So I'm sure in the natural, they might have been looking at each other going, right, no harm? Didn't that, isn't that what we heard? No harm? No harm. Yeah, okay, okay. No, we're not going to bow. Because I'm sure they had to encourage one another at that point, right? I mean, he's mad, and they've been around this king when he's mad, and when he gets mad, he starts killing people, you know? I mean, there's just, he does what he says he's going to do. When you walk out your faith, or excuse me, walk out your faith no matter what, is the third thing that we see, that a surrendered life is ready at all times. You walk out your faith no matter what. That's what they did. Now, sometimes people say, there's that portion in there that it says, when it talks about their response to the king, and they say, you know, we will not bow because our God will save us. And they say, but even if he doesn't, and I've heard people just create a whole religious thought process on that. But really, when you study that phraseology out there in that verse, I'll tell you what the verse is. Well, I guess I better get back to Daniel because it's not going to be in Jeremiah. Okay. Is it 17? Thank you. We'll just read it real quick. Verse 17. If it is the case that our God whom we... if that is the case, our God whom we serve... Can somebody read out a different translation? NIV. Anybody have an NIV? What was that? Okay, do you want to go ahead? One of you. Leon, just go ahead and shout it out there. 3:17. Okay. So even if he doesn't, that's the phraseology right there. Even if he does not, when you look that up and you study that out, what that means is they were exasperated. So the Bible records things, but it doesn't record the entire conversations a lot of times. And there, I had the feeling when I studied this out, this was going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth between the king and these boys. And they were just done. And they were like, listen, even if he, because I'm sure the king was like, no, what God's going to save you from a fire? Come on. I've never seen anybody be thrown into fire and survive. That is not going to happen. You are dead if you don't serve and bow to my image, right? And they're exasperated. Ah, fine. Even if he doesn't, we still aren't going to bow. That was the intent. It wasn't the fact that they were questioning God's ability. They were not questioning. They were just saying, fine. If you want us to say it, even if he doesn't, we'd rather burn than bow. That's what they were saying, okay? And that's important to know, because you'll hear a lot of people say, well, even if God doesn't come through this time, I'm still going to trust him. Why would you want to trust a God that is not going to come through for you? I don't understand that mentality, right? That means I could go into a fiery trial and I don't really know if God's going to be there. I'm sorry, ladies, that's not the God I want to serve. I want to serve the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that says, you have a future, there's no harm in it, and I can stand on the word here and on the promises of God, and I can rest that he is faithful to his promises. Amen? So in fiery trials, you can come out unharmed. Let's go ahead and read the next portion here. We'll start in verse 23. And when these three men, okay, just a quick little add on there. It says that he was so mad at them that he increased the furnace. So this isn't just a normal, I mean, it's fire. Have you stopped to think about that for a second? He increased the fire. It's still fire. What are we talking about here? You're going to get it hotter for who? I mean, he killed his guards because he made it so hot, right? But he's mad. And that's why you should never respond in anger. Listen to me, girls. We should never respond in anger. We're going to do things and say things that we would never do outside of being angry. If you're angry, you take a few moments. I could tell my kids, I need a timeout, and then I'll be back to tell you what your punishment is. Because sometimes we need timeouts, right? To talk to the Lord about something before we talk to them. Because otherwise we say things, we have to go back and say, I'm really sorry that I said that. That should not have come out of my mouth, and I apologize, and I'm going to work on that. You know, it's okay to tell your kids you're sorry. You lead by example, because we are not perfect. Newsflash, I am far from perfect. Just letting everybody know, right? I'm working out my perfection and my salvation just like everybody else in the room, right? But it's okay to tell them that you're sorry. Amen? Okay. Don't know how we got there, but somebody needed that this morning. So the fire is super hot now, right? And in verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound. Somebody say bound. In the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So here's the situation. King Nebuchadnezzar is sitting on his throne, and he is happy, 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 because he has just nailed these three boys. They're in the fiery furnace. He's got all his men around them. They're probably quaking because they're like, who's next? And everybody's here, and the men that had spoke out against them are also there, and you know that they're happy, right? Then it says this in verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. He rose, one version says, he jumped up in haste. And he spoke, saying to his counselors, wait a minute, didn't we put three men bound in the midst of this fire? And they answered and said to the king, yeah, we did. And he says, look, I see four men loosed, say loosed, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not, listen to this, they are not hurt. Woo! Why are they not hurt? Because they had a promise, and God was faithful to his promise for their lives. Somebody in this room better say amen. This is life-changing if you will grab hold of this today. And the fourth looks like the Son of God. He didn't send an angel. The Son of God came down and walked around the fire with them. The Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, which is crazy because it already killed the guards. And he spoke saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, listen to this, servants of the Most High God. He had a revelation. Come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps and the administrators and the governors and the king's counselors, everybody's here. Everyone is here, right? They saw these men on whose bodies the fire had, say it with me, no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. I think this is so funny. Stop and think about that. The smell of fire was not on them. So these guys that are gathered around them are not just touching them. They're like, I hope you used your deodorant today, right? Because, I mean, they've been in the fiery furnace. They've been sweating, right? I just think that's so funny. The smell of fire was not even on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke saying, blessed be the God. Whoa. So then at first he's acknowledging God. Now he's saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angels and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And listen to this. And they frustrated the king's words. He's still sharing. He's being real. Frustrated the king's words and yielded their bodies that they should not serve or worship any god except their own. Woo! I'm telling you, a surrendered life is an exciting life. It's an exciting life. Amen? All right. So we're going to look at four things. A life surrendered brings glory to God. Fire had no power on them. Luke, right here, Luke 10:19. It says this, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Say it with me. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. When you live a surrendered life, it brings glory to God. You can walk through a fiery circumstance and you can bring glory and honor to him just like these boys did. The king's first response when his first words to them were, servants of the Most High God. I don't care how far off someone is from God. I don't care how gone they are from the presence of the Lord. If you will stand your ground and you will be a light to them in the midst of your fiery furnace, they're going to look at you and go, something's going on over there. I remember in high school, I've shared this story before, but I had I went to a Christian high school, but Christian schools, you don't always have people that want to be there. Some are sent there because they can't go back to their other schools because they're expelled. And he was one of them. And so if there was light and dark, we had, you know, I was light and he was dark. And we didn't necessarily butt heads all the time, but quite a bit. And I would try to witness to him because I was very black and white in those days. And so hellfire and brimstone, I've mellowed a little bit in my life. I've learned that that's not always the greatest approach. Again, I'm not perfect. And so I would go through situations and things in high school. And I remember it was our senior year and we were just sitting down and I don't even know how we ended up sitting together, but we were talking and he said, you know, I haven't decided to make Jesus Lord of my life yet. And I was like, okay, and you're telling me it's because, you know, I figured that already. and he said, but I want you to know something. And he said, all the Christians in my life that I've ever watched were hypocrites. And he said, they would say one thing and then they would act like another. And he said, I've watched you for 4 years. And he said, there have been times that you've fallen. And he said, and you could have got up and just turned your back on God. He said, I've watched you go through circumstances and situations that were really tough. And he said, you could have turned your back on God. And he said, but every single time you got yourself up, dusted yourself off, and you kept going and you kept serving. And he said, if I ever come to the Lord, it'll be because of you. And that was like, whoo, okay. That's heavy for an 18-year-old, right? You know, but the fact of the matter is people are watching you. They are watching. And even if they say all kinds of negative things, they are watching and they're waiting and they want you to hold on. Isn't that crazy? As much as they'll ridicule you or put you down, they really want to know, are you going to be faithful? Are you going to hold on? Is God going to be faithful to you? It's important for us to keep walking the walk of faith, knowing that fire has no power over you and people are watching. Now listen to this. The second thing is their clothes were not burned. This is super important because when I put things in a fire, they burn. I'm just saying, I don't know about you guys, but when I put them in the fire, it's like, you know, okay, maybe those plastic weird plates that, you know, like, that you put in the camping, you put them in the fire, they like shrivel or whatever. I don't know if they burn completely, but they still, you know, they're changed, right? And it says that their clothes were not even burned. So God didn't just protect them. He protected the area around them. Amen? In Isaiah 43:2, it says this, when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. See, that's a truth. That's a truth in the word. When you walk through a fiery trial, you will not be burned. Not be burned. Why? Because you have a promise and you're living a surrendered life. Amen? And can I tell you, this is so important for these last days because the fire is just going to get hotter in the world. I mean, the difference between light and dark is just going to be more and more and more distinct. Amen? And I hate to say it, but you almost have to pick a side. What are you going to be standing on? The side of truth. The side of truth. Amen? The fire had no power. Their clothes were not burned. And I know it's funny, but they didn't smell of smoke. And 2 Corinthians 2:15 says this, we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ. Listen to this. When you go through a fire, there should be an aroma around you of the Lord. That people go, what is that? What is that? And you know why we have that? It's because it's an aroma for those who are being saved and those who are perishing. When they came out of that fiery furnace, who was around them? The unsaved. Those that were perishing in the natural, right, were around Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were smelling even for the scent of fire. Something to convince themselves that they had actually been in there and got out unscathed, right? And they didn't smell anything. They didn't even have the tinge. How many people have ever been by a campfire before? And like literally, like weeks later, Luke has this one sweatshirt he wore to the beach. Oh, man, it's like one of those Ariat or something like that. And it's like this thick. And literally, I cannot get the smell of campfire. It's so gross. Like, it's not even fun campfire smell. It's so gross. And he's like, Mom, it's fine. I'm like, no, don't wear it around me. You know, it stinks. Because that's what smoke does, right? It gets in all throughout you. But that doesn't have to happen to us as women and daughters of the Lord. Amen? We cannot even have the smell of smoke. We can have the pleasing aroma of the Lord. So you ever been by a woman, you walk in the room and you know she's there because you can smell her perfume, right? Girls, listen to me. We should walk in a room and people should go, is that the presence of the Lord? I smell the presence. I smell something. What is that? Oh, that'd be me. Are you saved? Do you need to know Jesus? You see what I'm saying? We need to be to the point where he just literally flows out of our skin and everything, just touches people. Amen? Not your sweat. We're not talking about sweat. We're talking about the sweet aroma of Jesus. Amen? And then the fourth thing is, enemies declare God's praises. In verse 29 of this chapter, it says, no other God could deliver like this. That was King Nebuchadnezzar. No other God could deliver like this. And that's what people will say. Remember, I was sharing about Lacey's birth and what the doctor said to us afterwards. I have never seen, I don't know what it was. I don't know what you were doing, but I have never seen anything like that before. A child that should have died is now living. I have never seen anything like that before. When my mom went back for her checkup, the doctor just kept asking her over and over and over again, you have no pain? And she's like, I haven't had any pain. Are you sure? Okay, well, what about the pain? And he started describing, she's like, I have no pain. And he's like, but this, you know, right here, and I have no pain. But what about this over here? It's like, how many times does she have to say, I have no pain, right? But it's because the world doesn't understand that. That's mind-boggling to them. You went through a fire and you don't smell? What? What? That doesn't make any sense to me. Amen? But the fact of the matter is, we are sharing the God. We are living testimonies of God. Amen? We are sharing him through our surrendered lives. Trust. When you know the truth that God loves you and he has a plan for you, surrendering isn't negative. It isn't negative. And that's why those three boys, they're probably young men at this point, but, you know, anybody that's less than 20 is a boy, right? even 25, you know. But they surrendered their lives and they lived these surrendered lives. So even in the midst of having to make this incredible decision, do I bow or do I go to the fire? They were able to say the truth of the matter is our God is faithful. Now stop and think about this for a minute. Our God is faithful. Even after we were ripped out of our families, even after we were taken to a land where we were captive, they were still able to say our God is faithful. Are you hearing me? Our God is faithful. Sometimes we read these things and we go, well, that was so easy for them. Really? I don't call being ripped away from my family and taken to a country that's not my own and being made to serve under a king who doesn't respect me or my God. I don't call that easy. I call it probably harder than anybody in this room has ever experienced something kind of thing. And if they can do that, how much more can we do that? Yes, things in life may not always be easy. It might be tough. Amen? Because we live in a fallen world. Do anybody get that? We live in a fallen world where things happen. And it happens to the just and the unjust. That is scriptural. There will be trials that we walk through. But listen to me, ladies. If you will surrender your life to the Lord and live a surrendered life and take this truth and say, this is the word I believe, you will walk through those circumstances and situations and you will come out on the other side unscathed. The only thing that you will be lacking when you walk out of those fires, are you listening? Is the things that bind you. That's the only thing that burned off in that fire. They put those boys in, bound, hand and feet, into the fire. They threw them in. But what does King Nebuchadnezzar say? Wait, I see four men walking. You ever tried to walk when you're bound? Not so good, right? And I don't think they were just walking. I know this is my, my opinion. But I think they were walking with their hands held high, praising and worshiping because they were in the presence of the Lord in the middle of the fire. That's what we should be. That's what we should be. Because when you go through a fire, you start noticing things. Wow, that thing that used to bind me before, it's gone. That thing that was holding me back, it's gone. The devil tried to take you out, and God, what does it say in Romans? Turns it around for your good. So that when you come out, the only thing that's lacking is the things that were holding you back. Hallelujah. Isn't that so awesome? Living a surrendered life keeps us on track. It helps us from swerving because we know the truth and we're resting. Do you see how each of these things are playing a part in trust? And we'll talk about it a little bit later on today, but it's so important for us to grab hold of this truth because when you reach those places where you feel like something is off, you ever been that in your walk and you're like, you feel like, oh, something's off. And a lot of times I notice I'm doing this. Something's off. What's going on? Oh, I'm leaning. Oh, problem. Back it up. In the word trust, how am I doing? Am I lacking in the truth? No, I'm not lacking in the truth. Am I resting? Ooh, no, I'm not resting. Okay, sorry, Lord. And you get back on track and you're resting, right? And maybe for some of you, you're in the truth and you're resting, but you're swerving. Something is causing you to, it's like you get to do these checklists so you can get your trust back in the line with God and you can keep moving forward. Amen? Because if you don't know the truth, you're not resting and you're swerving and you're not surrendered, then you're not going to be able to trust him fully. Amen? And these are important truths for us, but they're also important for you to know to share with other people in your life. I preached this sermon probably four or five times to, like I was sharing earlier with Lane, just the things he was going through, my oldest son, this summer. And he'd come to me and go, Mom, I'm like, trust, which one is it? He's like, okay, the truth. I know what the truth is. Rest. Oh, I'm not resting, Mom. I'm like, okay, well, let's pray and let's deal with this. Do you see how easy it is to teach someone to trust? These five things, so easy. I've shared with you before that these messages will be on our website and they'll be on our YouTube channel, okay? So watch them over and over. If there's someone in your life that's dealing with trust and trust issues, share it with them. Amen? This has, like, revolutionized my walk because it's, sometimes we feel like, what is it that's going wrong? You can't find it. You can't figure it out. It just seems like it's, overwhelming. This makes it so easy. It's just five. Let's figure out which one it is, and then let's get moving forward. Amen? So the next time someone says, we're going to talk about surrender, what's your response going to be? Hallelujah. Can someone do that with me? Hallelujah. Yes. I can surrender because I know I'm surrendering to the person that knows what's best for me. I'm doing this as an act of worship. This is not a negative. This is a positive. Because I know when I come through, the only thing that'll be lacking is the things that were holding me back. Amen? Whoo, isn't that good? It just kind of changes your thinking about surrender. Amen? What was that? He did. Yes, he did. And he's doing great. Thank you for asking. Amen. Let's go ahead and say a prayer. Father, I just thank you so much for this word and this time together. I thank you, Lord, that we are going to live surrendered lives to you, that it's not a negative, it's a positive. And I pray for every woman here today, Father, that even as we go forward and we go home this afternoon, I pray, Lord, that we would go to you and we would ask you, is there an area of my life that I'm not fully surrendered? And I pray whatever it is, Lord, that we would surrender, we would lay that thing down, and we would pick up your truth about that thing, and we would be able to move forward with a lightness that we haven't felt in years. I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to show us, to tell us in advance, just like you did for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, by the word that came by Jeremiah. Father, a lot of times you'll tell us in advance something we need to know to be able to handle that circumstance that's coming. And I thank you, Father, in these last days, we have your truth right on our fingertips. Truth, rest, unswerving, surrendered, and timing that we'll get to next. I thank you, Father, so much for this simple way to increase our trust in you.